Rockland, USA.
Rock stars from Rockland USA Studios in Washington. This is Rock on the Money. Time to talk about saving, investing, and protecting all of your hard-earned monies. We're just here to give you ideas, answer your questions, and keep you updated on your path to multi-millions without any fees or commissions. It's kind of what we do here. I'm Craig with Amanda, and we are your host, and we are so glad you've joined us. Phone lines are open 24 hours a day, 989-888-ROCK, 989-888-7625. And if you're too shy for all that, you can email us to podcast@rocklandusa.com. Amanda!
Craig.
What's up, girl?
Hey, I am rocking and rolling here in January. New year.
Yeah.
Same me.
Yeah, nothing's changed for me whatsoever. I think I made it like two. I don't have any resolutions. We already talked about that.
Well, so I have a lot, and I tend to like try and eat the whole elephant at once. So I've actually had a lot going on in the last couple weeks.
I think we both got a lot going on.
I actually have already finished a couple of my goals for the year. So
you're like a machine.
worn out, rusty machine. Yes.
Yes, you are. Hey, what's going on for this episode?
We've got a great one. We've got a number of questions from our fans from social media. So we're gonna dive into those first up. And then we're going to talk about the fake math of financial advisors. Uh-oh.
My favorite people.
We're going to get us in trouble. and then we've got a savvy savings segment today on exercising on a budget.
Exercise.
You know, losing weight is a big New Year's resolution for a lot of people. So I thought we'd chat about that today.
Oh, that sounds awesome. I like that. Yeah. It's January. That sounds perfect.
It does.
But we got some social media questions, don't we?
We do. So Carl on Facebook, he is looking to purchase a new large screen TV from Best Buy for the Super Bowl.
Yes.
As they have great sales at the end of January and middle of January, Martin Luther King Day weekend is usually a big one.
The Super Bowl and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So he asks, is it worth buying the extended warranty if I'm willing to pay $2,000 for a big screen? Really, really enjoying the podcast. Thank you for all you do. Oh, thanks, Carl.
Carl, you do care. Okay, so
not just one really, but three reallys. Really enjoying it.
Yeah. Have we talked about extended warranties before?
I don't remember. I don't think so.
Look, I'm just going to give my little speech on it, and then you can throw in your little 2 cents worth. Okay. You know, because I'm the big Consumer Reports guy and all that. Never, ever, ever, never. That's me. Buy
so it's extended really, warranties. Really, really bad idea.
Really, really. on houses, electronics, cars, all of that. Yeah. And I looked this up real quick. 87% of the cost of those extended warranties that you're paying goes to marketing, the overhead, profit, and commissions. And I don't know if you've ever worked retail, Amanda, but they call them spiffs.
I have not worked retail. Yeah. Of all the jobs I've ever worked in my life, I briefly worked at a Babies R Us in retail. So I guess that counts.
Well, I worked retail. This is early 80s. I don't know if they still call them spiffs, but if we're able to sell certain things or like extended, we would actually get like a little $5 or $25 bonus out of it. Anyway,
we talked about spiffs when we were talking about, Victoria's Secret pushing their credit cards.
Yeah. So only 12% of the money that you're paying for these extended warranties actually goes to the very small statistical probability that something's going to go wrong with what you just purchased. What I do is I make sure my emergency fund is fully funded. And if you really want to, you could take that money that they quoted you on whatever that extended warranty is and just throw that into your emergency fund and it's there. So if you're buying like a stove, a refrigerator, a dishwasher, a TV, you know, all these little things, the odds are one of those things may break. And then you have all the money you need to maybe even replace it if you have to or get it fixed.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't ever buy extended warranties either. I feel the same way. I never buy the extended warranties. Yeah.
I don't know of any financial person doing a radio show, podcast that recommends doing extended warranties. Even Consumer Reports tells you don't do it. I'm one of the people that still subscribes to Consumer Reports, but I do the online version because the online version, you just go in there, they have a search engine, I can type in toaster or vacuum or whatever, and all the old data and everything, and they update this stuff still on a monthly basis. I go in there and find out, all right, what's the best buy? Which is the best product? So I make sure I'm buying quality products. I limit my exposure to something breaking down. I just don't go with brand name products. That has worked for me for decades. Whether it's a car, what I buy, an iron. Remember that expensive iron I bought?
Yeah.
Anyway, that's my little speech. Do you have anything to add on to that? Or
Nope, not except for the fact that I agree. 100%.
Yes, she agreed with me. I'm so excited. Hey, okay, so another social media question. We have Michael on Facebook. I'm leaving this for you, Amanda, because I'm a guy. I want you to answer this one. How much should one spend on an engagement ring? I'm not touching this with a 10-foot pole. Being debt-free, how many months' salary, or is it gross or net? How much should be spent on an engagement ring? What say you, Amanda?
I don't think you should base any purchase on a number of months of salary. that doesn't make any sense to me. So I think there was an old rule many, many moons ago that it should be 2 to 3 months salary, right? I don't know that there's a should involved here. So the decision is both emotional and rational, right? So there's two major things you need to think about. Number one, what's your lady's expectations? I shouldn't say ladies nowadays. I guess what is your significant other's expectations? It could be another man.
Yeah.
So what's that person's expectations? And if you haven't really talked about expectations, then you're probably not ready to pop the question, because that's a big red flag that you probably haven't talked about finances and budgeting in general, and you may or may not be on the same page with your financial goals, which leads to the second major thing to consider, your financial situation. So, you know, if you're salary every month is 100% consumed with necessities and there's very little left over, then it doesn't make any sense at all to spend 2 months worth of that on anything, much less something that's going to just sparkle in someone's hand.
Yeah, especially if you don't have a fully funded emergency fund, which is 3 to 6 months of your salary. So
and I think it's also crazy, like even if you have a lot of money coming in, what are you supposed to do? Spend $10,000 on a ring? That seems crazy to me. I'll tell you, so funny thing. So this is my second marriage. And I walked away with my rings from the first one and actually traded up those when I got engaged the second time.
Nice. Good move. I'm impressed. So
I saved that and used it as the down payment. Yeah, you should just research pricing online and avoid overpaying. So, online retailers are going to be 40% cheaper than your local jewelers, and a lot of them offer free shipping and returns. The ring really doesn't matter. The ring is supposed to be a symbol of your love and commitment and shows that you're invested in your shared future. But that being said, many women, and this time I am going to specify women, have dreamed about their perfect ring for a long time, including the style, the shape of the stone, etc. And it's going to, even if you spent 5 times your monthly salary on it, if it's not what she had in mind, it's going to be a big disappointment. Make sure you have some kind of idea on what exact type of ring she wants. Like personally, I can't stand yellow gold. So if I had ever gotten a yellow gold ring, I would be super annoyed. It's something she's supposed to wear every day. So
there's two shows on TV, and guys are going to like, what are you watching, Craig? What is this one show? It's called Four Weddings or something.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then Say Yes to the Dress or something.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, but I'm watching how much they spend on these dresses and how much they spend on these weddings. I'm like, the statistical odds of these weddings lasting I'm like,
well, they're better nowadays than they used to be. But, you know, that's a good point, Craig. We're going to talk about weddings on a budget in one of our upcoming episodes.
Oh, let me just save this conversation for that one.
Yeah, God,
that's a great teaser. All right, we'll leave that word on. All right, let's move on to the next question. Amy on Facebook, can people change their 401k to a Roth? If so, what is the thought processes or advantage of doing that in the future? I'm trying to think of how that was worded. I assume they're asking if I change it to a Roth, what is the advantage of that for the future? I guess is how that was supposed to be.
Do you want my answer, Chris?
Yeah.
Were you going to say it depends?
No, you're the lawyer. You do your it depends thing.
Yeah, it depends. So, I mean, so obviously a Roth IRA, right, in this case, I guess it would be a Roth 401k, means that you're contributing money to the Roth after you've already paid income tax on it, so that you don't have to pay income tax on it in the future when you're taking draws. That is a strategy you may want to use if you're expecting your income to be lower when you retire than what it is now. So if your income now, though, is very low and you're just getting started in your career, it may or may not be a good strategy for you.
Sounds awesome. I love it.
Yeah. What do you think, Craig?
Just so everyone knows, because we have a lot of new listeners, they're flooding in now. So
flooding.
They literally, I tell you what, the Facebook group grew like by 1,000 in the last like month. It's been insane. So I have our traditional 457, which is a government version of a 401k. I'm not going to slowly move that over to Roth. I'm going to leave that alone. But now I have two active 401k at two different companies because I can't retire. I get bored easily. So I'm doing two company matches. So both of those are my Roth accounts. Those I'm locking into today's tax rates.
Yeah.
And I'm going to use those in the far future and use my traditional first. In the future, we don't know what the tax rates are going to be. So I think that's a very common strategy if you have traditional and Roth. You leave the Roth alone, let that grow. Use your traditional first.
Well, and so based on tax rates. To Amy's specific question, though, she's asking if she can change her 401k to Roth. And so the answer is yes.
Oh, yeah.
But
sure.
However, there's remember the 401k, the traditional, you're contributing pre-tax dollars and you haven't paid tax on them yet. So guess what? When you convert it, you're going to pay tax on it. So if there is a big chunk of money in there, you have to pay all of that tax right then.
Yeah. So company matches, if you're doing a Roth 401k all year, your company match is not Roth. It is a traditional. It's in a different bucket. And that's just the way the IRS rules work. So one strategy is once or twice a year, people will take that company match and go ahead and pay the tax and roll it into their Roth, but they do it annually. So it doesn't end up building up to a large amount. And if you keep up on that, that's a very great strategy to do.
Yeah. So I guess the bottom line, you're going to have to pay the tax man either now or later.
Yeah. They're going to get their money somehow. Yeah. Trust me, they're going to get it. So.
All right. Those are great questions. Keep them coming, people.
All right. Let's get to a topic.
Yeah. Your favorite topic, financial advisors.
I'm not totally against financial advisors. It's just that I like my fee-only people that aren't selling anything. I think I've made that well known. They're the ones that you can listen to the most. They have no kickbacks. They have no skin in the game. They're just there to educate you, just like a coach or something like that. Anyway, I just happened to come across this little blip in the news. And before we get into what we're going to do in the next, seven episodes, we're going to start going over each of the baby steps that Dave Ramsey talks about, the seven baby steps. They're coming up starting in the next episode. But before we get into that, I think I just want to clear up this one thing. I just posted the annual percentages for fund performance for 2019 for a bunch of different 401ks that people have to help them out. And I want people to understand what those performance numbers really mean when I post it, as opposed to you getting it from your financial advisor. If you're doing an annual sit down meeting, which a lot of people do, how'd I do last year? And then they give you these crazy fictitious numbers using their amazing fake math, Amanda.
Tell us more about this fake math.
Well, it is amazing. You're like, you think you're doing a lot better than you really are. So let's just go through this real quick. First of all, we always talk about the index fund, the S&P 500 index fund, like the Vanguard, and a lot of funds that try to use as their benchmark, only 20% of all those funds actually beats that index. 80% do not even beat the S&P 500 index.
Yeah.
So that's why we constantly look, if you want to keep this simple, just do the S&P 500 index fund. These advisors or your salespeople, whoever is managing your portfolios, they will do this weird fake math to make your returns look better than they are, or when they're trying to sell you to try and get you to sign up for that fund, okay? I call it like a Penn and Teller thing. It's a sleight of hand thing. Mm-hmm. Let's just make this simple. So everybody think about this. You have $1,000, okay? Salesperson says, hey, I want you to put into this fund. You're like, great. So you put $1,000 in there. Starting point, okay. $1,000. Now, so this year, the stock market dropped 50%. Okay? We are now at what, Amanda? How much money?
50% of 1,000 is 500.
Yes. See, you're my calculator. You're my calculator. Yep. So everybody think about that. You're now at $500 because we went down 50%. Everything got better. Interest rates went down and everybody's doing better. The stock market goes up 50%.
Okay.
Now, quickly, when I say that to somebody, they're like, oh, I'm to break even. But actually, think about that. You're up
50%. Only 50% of 500 is only 250. So you only go up to a total of 750.
Correct. However, technically, they can tell you that you've now averaged 0% because your return, because you were down negative 50, and then they do plus 50, and it equals 0% return.
Because they're doing a measurement once per year.
Right. And that's fully legal, by the way. That's why these numbers look like inflated. So, okay. Yeah. So let's go another year. So now we're up to 2 years. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Then following year, the stock market even does better and it goes up another 25%. We've now gone up, what, 75%?
Yeah.
Wow. But actually, our dollar amount, I already did this calculation for you. I'm not going to make you.
Thanks.
Yeah. We are now actually, we start out at 1,000, right?
Yep.
We're now only at $937.50. We're still not back after 3 years back to our original $1,000. Okay.
Ooh, that's rough.
But the advisor can legally, or fund manager can legally then say, you had a fund return average of 8.3% over the last 3 years. But you're like, wait a minute, I don't even have my 1,000 back. But this is how they do that. And I'm telling you, go check it out. I went and researched this to make sure. So the first year we had negative 50%, correct?
Yep.
They add 50% onto that. So we're back up to zero.
Then
we add, and then the third year we're at plus 25%.
So 25 divided by 3 is 8.3%.
Right. So you add those three numbers, you're 25%. Divide by 3 years, you have 8.3%.
But we're still down, Craig.
They can legally do that. The two bits of advice I want to give you when you sit down with your advisor or before you start investing in a fund, ask them to give you the graph to show the performance each year. So I typically will go, I have a Schwab account, I have an E-Trade account, I have one at T. Rowe Price, I got money everywhere. Or just go to Yahoo Finance or Google Finance and just type in the ticker symbol for whatever it is and look at the actual graph from when the fund started till current day. And look at each year. What I do is I'll take my fund. Like, remember last year, let's see, now we're in 2020. In 2018, right after Christmas, the stock market dropped.
Right.
Immediately in January of 2019, stock market started going way back up. So everybody said, look at all the money I made last year. So like the S&P 500 made about 30% last year. Mm-hmm. If you take a line, go 2018, 2019, and draw a line from where it is now, it actually didn't go that much over a 1 year period. But they're going to mark it last year, as I posted today, the fund performance for 2019. Hey, the S&P 500 went up 30%. Yeah, but also
from
went
January
down.
1st. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So look at a total graph, look at the total. You just got to look at that whole thing. That's all I'm asking you to do. Just look for a little more information. You have the internet now. It's 2020. All this information out there. Just don't go by what a salesperson or financial advisor tells you. It's fake math and it's fully legal and they are allowed to do it. And it is a real thing. There you go. We are up to my favorite segment.
Savvy Savings.
Savvy Savings with Amanda. Come up next right here at Rock on the Money. Don't forget to check out our amazing website, Amanda.
It is pretty amazing. Nice work, Craig.
I'm actually going to redesign it to a cleaner layout. But right now, all the links to subscribe to the podcast are right there if you're listening to us on any other platform. Or, like you pointed out, Amanda, the player is built into the website. You can listen to the podcast right there. It looks like an app on your phone. Everything is there, so check it out.
And there's really great articles as well.
Absolutely. I'm going to really start beefing those up. And we have a lot of great information to share with you guys. And we also have a great Facebook group. And there's a link to the group right there on the front page near the top. Just click on the button for Facebook group and join us in there. We got 2,500 people in there now, and it's growing rapidly. And everybody's helping each other. And hey, shout out to all our Facebook group members. We love you guys. It's been fun.
Thanks, guys.
Savvy Savings, Amanda. This is your baby.
Oh, yeah. Well, today's topic is exercise. Oh. So I know it's January. Lots of people have decided that they're going to do the new year, new me, and lose some weight. And that's totally cool. Sometimes these gym memberships and new programs that you see all these infomercials for can be pretty pricey. So how do you meet your exercise goals without breaking the bank?
Peloton.
Yeah, Peloton is one that comes to mind.
Yes. Sorry.
Yeah. So I actually don't spend any money on exercise, and I exercise at least 3 to 5 times a week. How do I do it, right?
How do you do it, Amanda?
I run. So I run. I'm running Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and I just run around my neighborhood. I mean, obviously, there's the cost of shoes once a year whenever I put 1,000 miles on my shoes.
Of course.
But otherwise, it's cost-free. So I just run in my neighborhood. I listen to my favorite music, and I track all of my runs on a free app. Of course, there's an app.
Of course there is.
Yeah. So I use Runkeeper, and I've been using it since like 2010, and I just love it. I think they rebranded, but it's still called Runkeeper. So okay, I think it's great.
Can I ask you a question about Runkeeper then? I'm not familiar with it, but just uses your phone on you, or how does that work?
So it tracks you on a map by your phone's GPS.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. So okay. You have to have either your phone with you. I guess it probably also works with the smartwatches that are GPS and enabled, but I don't pay for a subscription to a smartphone watch.
Cool. So no other accessories required, just your phone.
No. Perfect. Just your phone. Yeah, awesome. It just tracks you on your phone. And then, I mean, of course, you can either plug in regular headphones or your Bluetooth headphones, but just your phone. Yep. And then you can, it has all sorts of different workouts already pre-programmed in there. So you can either do like a interval runs or a straight run. There's some challenges that they push out every now and then. And that's kind of interesting. If you pay for a subscription to it, which I'm currently not, when I was training for half marathons, I did because I was running so much. I wanted someone to be able to track my route in case, for safety reasons.
Half marathons? That sounds like work.
I used to run a lot of those, but you can pay for a subscription, and then you can you can share a link, and someone else can track you while you're running and see where you're at.
Cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, and it keeps track of your history of running. So, like every day, I get back, and it'll tell me this is your 31st fastest 2 to 3 mile run, and it gives me some motivation there.
Nice.
Yeah, so that's great. So you can walk, run, or hike outside. When we lived in Colorado, there were lots of great hiking trails around, and wonderful is an overstatement, but there was this very challenging stairs built into a mountain, which was extremely challenging. So there's all sorts of options outside. And here in Tampa, they've got this lovely sidewalk on Bayshore, which is right on the bay. And there are like these little body weight type exercise stations along the way. So you could just stop and do some dips on a pole or something like that. If you do have to stay indoors, you can get some extra steps by taking the stairs or parking far away from your office building. And you can track your progress either with a smartwatch or in Fitbits are very popular, or even just an inexpensive pedometer. So you can get those for like $10.
Oh, okay.
You can all, and if you're stuck indoors and you work from home like me, you can exercise at home. There's also apps for that. You could also do, there's YouTube videos or Netflix workout videos. So if you already have a subscription to Netflix, or if you, there's free YouTube videos, you can just do a search and find some free ones there. Or if you have already a video collection collecting dust, now might be the time to pull it out of the shelf and put it to work.
You mean my 20-minute workout videos from the 80s? Some of these girls in those skin tights.
Oh, yeah. And the
bad
the
80s
warmers.
Music. Oh, yeah. That was it. The leg warmers. Yeah.
Yeah.
80s are making a comeback this year because of Wonder Woman and all that. So
that's right. That's right.
Anyway.
You can get some cheap home equipment on like used on Facebook Marketplace or some of the other apps that we've talked about in prior episodes. You know, you can get like resistance bands or dumbbells, a stability ball, jump rope. They're all very inexpensive. Like, for example, today I was doing a workout video with my dumbbells at home and my husband was outside with his jump rope and he was doing like burpees and mountain climbers and jump rope and
burpees.
Yeah. While we're grilling, these are the things we do.
What's a burpee? Yeah.
So a burpee is, and you can Google it, but if I were to describe it, it's like you start standing up, jump down, and then you do like a push up, and then you jump back up and try and have your hands touch the sky. It's very hard.
It looks so easy military.
Yeah. I hate burpees. I think most people hate burpees, actually.
Okay.
Or if you don't have, you know, you don't want to spend any money, you could use like milk jugs refilled with water as weights. Mm-hmm. You could use your stairs if you have stairs. I'm in a one level ranch, so we don't have stairs.
Yeah.
But you could do dips on your chairs. Everyone has a chair. There's lots, like I mentioned, lots of effective body weight workouts out there.
Yep.
So squats, jumping jacks, push-ups, burpees, lunges, dips, they're all very effective.
Yep. A lot of those you can do in your hotel room too as well for travelers.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. And you know, a lot of hotel rooms are actually now putting workout videos on their TVs too.
Yeah. Or you can have a Peloton at like, I think it's the Westin hotels.
Mm-hmm.
You can have them brought to your room, but they definitely have them in their workout rooms at Westins. So.
Yeah. And I know some of the hotels now, like for work, I wouldn't pay for the W, but work put me up in a W hotel and they will also loan out like sneakers and workout clothes if you forget to bring them with you too. So.
Oh man.
I didn't try that because I don't know. That seems weird to me, but.
It's like getting someone's bowling shoes at the alley.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't really understand what they're doing with that, but
it is pretty cool though. I'm sure it's all on the up and up. It's just
I'm sure if it's the W, I'm sure it's very up and up, but so that's an option. If you forget something, you can look into it, see if your hotel does that.
Awesome.
You could also attend some free local workouts, so check out your community events. Facebook events always has all sorts of local events on them, and you sometimes there's like community yoga, like we do sometimes. There's like a yoga by the bay here in Tampa, or when I was in Green Bay, there was a free yoga in the park day and we did it with one of the Packer players. That was pretty cool. And it's at no cost. So you can find all sorts of different things. I think there was like a hip hop yoga here in Tampa that one of my friends went to and that was free. So there's all sorts of things out there.
Yep.
Or you could look on Groupon for inexpensive first time discounts. So I've tried that in the past. If and you don't always have to sign up for the gym. You could just like get a really cheap introductory, here's three classes for $20 and you go check it out and do that with a different one.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are a gym rat and you really love going to the gym, you can always look for an inexpensive local option. So, you know, of course there's these national brands that will charge you, you know, $35, $40, $50 a month. I would encourage you to try an alternative first to see how committed you are, because a lot of those large gyms have annual contracts that you have to keep paying whether you continue to go or not, or they're like on auto pay and then you don't go and you just keep paying and before you know it, you've paid them $600 for the year.
Yeah.
So Like here in our neighborhood, my husband goes to the gym down the street and it is $10 a month and that's it.
No, is that Planet Fitness?
No, it's just a local one. So it's like UFit or something like that. I don't know if that's a chain or anything. When I was in Green Bay, we had a local gym that they had a monthly package, but we went in there and said, hey, we're actually moving soon. Do you have something you could work out with us for a shorter period of time? And they were more than willing to do that. Just do a flat rate for 3 weeks, for example. So, you know, small businesses are a great place to look because, you know, they're trying to compete with these large chains. And, you know, when you can, I always like to try and support local businesses instead. And you'd be surprised. They're willing to work with you on pricing where these big guys just can't.
Yeah.
So how about you? Any suggestions, Craig? What do you do for your workouts?
You would not believe it if I told you. Are you ready for this?
I am ready.
Several years ago, around the time that my father passed away, actually, it was right before that, I was involved in a T-bone auto accident.
Yeah, I remember.
I currently have a herniated disc between C1 and C2, which is way up in your spinal column, and also my lumbar. So the pain for that, I mean, that could be a whole nother episode talking about the pain. It was like 10 out of 10. It was the worst thing I ever, they wanted to give me opioids and I just avoided it. Anyway, what I discovered was using virtual reality helped with that tremendously. Now I've gotten to the point where I actually have weights that I put around my wrists because you have the virtual reality controllers.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I add, I think they're 5 pound wrist weights, Velcro. So I use those. And then the game that I play now is like the best game out there for VR. And people have lost like hundreds of pounds, literally hundreds of pounds.
Really?
There was one guy that said he lost 190 pounds. It's called Beat Saber. I know you've seen the commercials on TV.
Yeah.
You're using like lightsabers, like from Star Wars.
Like the Oculus Quest or something?
Yeah. So if you watch those Oculus Quest commercials, they have a red square and blue squares coming at you and these lightsabers and they're cutting it based on the music. So that, I'm telling you, will kick your butt.
Yeah. I had a dance pad like 10 years ago. When I was doing the Dance Dance Revolution. Oh, Dance Dance.
Yeah, so this is basically that using lightsabers is what it is. Now, they just changed the game several weeks ago. Now it's not just coming in front of you, it's 360. So there's stuff coming from your left, back, front, so you got to twist around and stuff, but you have to duck, you have to do that. And if you add the weights to it, I'm telling you, look on YouTube. There's a lot of people that post their workout videos doing it.
So obviously this is not a no cost option, but
no, you have to buy
the investment. Yeah.
But the Oculus Quest, a lot of people are taking it with them in their for business travel and they're doing it in their hotel rooms. That costs $399.
Really
yeah.
Yeah, it's like
I think the battery will last 2 to 4 hours. But by that point, you're just anyway. So that's what I've been using. I love ellipticals.
Yeah, I have one of those, but when we moved here to our house in Tampa, there just wasn't room for it. So now I have to run outside in the beautiful sunny sunshine.
Between the two, I take no meds. I'm healthy. I feel young. I feel like I'm in my 20s and I'm not a gym rat or anything like that. But, you know, it's enough that keeps me healthy. Anyway.
All right. Well, that's all we've got today.
Sounds awesome.
Thanks for joining us.
All right. Don't forget to check out our website, rockonthemoney.com, for all the previous episodes. We have articles, show notes, everything right there. Plus, links directly to all of the podcast platforms where you can easily subscribe to the podcast, such as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, and many others. We really do appreciate all of your support. We have a lot of gratitude that you took the time to check us out. We really do appreciate it. Send us an email and tell us what you think to podcast@rocklandusa.com. So long, everybody. We'll see you again next time on Rock on the Money. America's Rockland USA. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.